Today's scripture reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and starting with verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end.
I want to thank Mark for reading Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I hope you have your Bibles open to this wonderful text of Scripture that's going to lead us in a consideration of how we can make the most of this season. We're talking about making the most of every season, and life has its ups and life has its downs. And we want to talk about our response to this difficult time, this pandemic, how we individually respond to it. And we're going to look at, in particular, the life of Joseph and the downtimes in Joseph's life and how God worked in incredible ways during the downtimes. And it's not whether we have bad times, downtimes, or difficult times. It's how we respond and what we do with those downtimes. And I hear incredible stories of great things that God has done in individuals' lives during this difficult time. I hear wonderful stories of families coming together and spending time together and connecting with each other closely, and individuals full of faith finding opportunities to serve and to minister and to help others. It's individuals that are going through this downtime but finding opportunities to grow, opportunities to serve, and opportunities to bring glory and honor to God. So we're in a season, it's a tough one, it's challenging in many, many ways, but we want to have a faith-filled response. Now, the reading that Mark gave us talks about seasons. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And then it gives contrast: time to be born, time to die, time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. I think if we were to give a modern rendition of this Ecclesiastes text, it might read something like this. We used to have a time when we went shopping, and now we order online. We used to have a time when we hung out with family and friends, and now we video chat or have a Zoom meeting with family and friends. There used to be a time when we could warmly greet others with a handshake or with a hug or with a holy kiss. and now we have to just wave and say hi at a distance. Used to be a time when we went to work, and now it's a time when we work from home. This is a strange time, but as we unpack the treasure of truth found in that Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 text, when it says to everything, and that word in the original is everything. It covers every event that's ever happened in human history, or any event that will happen. To every event, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And as we unpack that text in a little bit, we're going to see that it reveals that it is God at work in everything. Now, did he cause this? I believe he allowed it. And the fallen world we live in, these things take place. But there's a reason, and God has something good in everything. Now, my hope for my life and for our family and for our church in ministry and for you, my hope as your pastor is that we would be as the sons of Issachar. Let me give you a text. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. Listen to what it says. It says, the sons of Issachar were those that had understanding of the times. How important this is for you and I to have understanding of the times, to have discernment that God can give us, to have wisdom that God has promised. And it said they knew what to do. Look what it says. The sons of Issachar had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. You and I need to know what we ought to do, how we should react during this time. And wisdom is promised by God. Remember the text in Proverbs 1:20, where it reminds us that wisdom is readily available. It says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out, it says in verse 22, in the chief concourses. Wisdom is not something that's something we can't grasp or get a hold of. God wants us to have wisdom so that we would be discerning of the times, of this time in our life. And each of us, I think that one of the things that this difficulty has done is caused us to reflect. We've looked at our life. We've looked at our circumstances. We've evaluated priorities. And so it's been good to help us to look at our lives and discern what does God have for us in this time. Jesus made a promise in the Gospel of John 16:13, where he said that he would give his followers the Spirit of truth, that he would guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is in every child of God, and he will lead you and lead me. So we have a lot of decisions every day we have to make. Where we'll go, what we will do, what we won't do, what we should do, what God would have us to do. The child of God has the Spirit of God. And I think this is a great time for us to sharpen our focus on what God would have us to do. As it says in that well-known text in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that we not trust in our own way, our thoughts. We trust in the Lord. And there it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. What a great promise. And think of all the little decisions that, what a difference it makes in our life. It's a time when we don't want to make the wrong decisions. We don't want to do the wrong thing. We want to do the right thing, the good things, the things God would have us to do. Now, some of us, some are still angry that we're in this circumstance, and after 2 months of it, maybe it's time to accept the fact that God has allowed this adversity. Remember what Job said. Job had an incredibly faith-filled response after he had lost so much and gone through so much difficulty. I mean, his first response and his first wave of attack in Job chapter 1 was that he humbles himself before God and worships him. He worships God. And then when he goes through that second wave and his own flesh is struck, his wife is cynical and negative and telling him to, you know, curse God and die. And Job says this in Job chapter 2 and verse 10. Once again, if you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn there. And in Job 2, verse 10, he says this to his wife, "Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" It's a good question. Are we able and ready to accept adversity and difficulty that God allows in our life? Now, each of us need to, you know, think about our response that we would maximize this situation. For some, you've had a lot more time to do projects, and you've been doing projects at home. I hope that in this time, downtime, that you have been able to spend time with God. Do some of the spiritual things that you've been neglecting, and that you'd maximize this opportunity. So I want to be like the sons of Issachar, to understand the times and to know what we ought to do. I want to have a faith-filled trust in God. Hebrews 11:6, it's a well-known text, says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." And I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. So if you think of biblical characters, you can think of biblical events, a lot of downtimes, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We know that after the fall of Adam and Eve, the promise of God given in Genesis 2:17 that if they ate of the fruit, they would die. And it lists all the repercussions from that. In Genesis chapter 3 that we have been experiencing for thousands of years upon the earth. But not only is there difficulties around the world, but we have stories in the scripture of individuals, people like Daniel in the Old Testament, difficulties and how he responded and what God did in his life. Or Esther. Esther's story is a sad story of difficulty and a sad story of disappointment, her parents dying and living with her uncle and being put in the concubine of a king. These were all difficult, down times, but Esther's faith caused her to have the downtime be an upward growth in her life. In the New Testament, we have Stephen and the downtime and the difficulty, but what God did through the life and testimony of Stephen. Mary had difficulty. It was a difficult assignment, but what could have looked at as a downtime was an incredibly uplifting and growing time for her. And then, of course, the ultimate example is Jesus, how Jesus' life was tough and difficult. Through 33 years, it was that way. He is in the garden at the end of his earthly ministry, and he's asking if it's possible if God would remove the cup from him. In Matthew 26:39, he says, "Oh, my Father," crying out to his heavenly Father, "if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." So learning how to respond to the difficulties of life. Now in Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." And then in verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 3, it says, God, He has made everything beautiful in its time. So what are we doing? We're seeking to discover the beauty that God has through this difficult time. What good things are coming as a result of this time? And I hope you are discovering many. So as we look at the words and stay for a moment in, if we can go to verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 3, and just let's just look at a couple of the words very quickly in the original Hebrew. And I don't know Hebrew, but we have great study tools that helps us unmine these texts of Scripture. The word everything is just exactly that. It's the word total or all, everything. Everything, there is a season. A season is an appointed time. It has a duration determined by God. Because you might go, how long is this going to last? Well, God knows. And He has a purpose in this. The next word we look at is the word time. It's an appointed time and hour, the word season. And the word time means that it's a particular occasion that's at hand. And then the word purpose. The word purpose is that it has a desire or a something that God is at work in it. It has a positive to it. It means something that brings joy, delight, or a wish or a desire. God has something good, a purpose in the time that we're in the season that we're in. And then he repeats many of those same words in verse 11 where he says everything, that he'll make everything, and the word beautiful is the word beautiful there is the word right, that he's going to make everything right ultimately, and yet he has a purpose in it. So this is a season. Years ago, one of our ladies' classes, I believe Gail Rutenberg had a class, and in the class, I remember the ladies talking about trying to discover God in everything. They were, I forget exactly the phrase they used, but it was finding God in everything and seeing how what God was doing in everything. And I think that's good at this in this time period for us to find out what God is doing in us, what God is doing around us. Seeing God at work. Remember, as I referred to the Esther, the Queen Esther, in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, the well-known text where it says, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such, and here's the word, for such a time as this. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is a particular time ordained by God, and you and I are a part of, you were born and I was born, and God had a plan that at this time we would be here and go through this difficulty, and we need to discover all that He has for us. Psalms 139:16 says that God made us and fashioned us, that all of our days were fashioned when there was yet none of them. So you're here and I'm here, and we're in this time. And we need to trust God that He has good in this difficult time. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we were saved, 8:9, by the grace of God. But it says that He planned good works for us, for each of us in this time. He has good things for us. Now, here's three good things I think we can find in this season. Number one, it's a chance for all of us to grow. If I'd have had it early enough, I could have made a little outline here and I could have put three good things from this pandemic. Number one, a chance to grow. This is testing us and trying us, no doubt. All of us, in family life, in our physical health, and the economy, in our, you know, the things we can't do that we're so used to doing throughout our life and with family and friends. And so we're growing. Let this be a time to help you and help me to grow, you know, spiritually, physically, emotionally, relationally, as a whole person, that we can grow during this time. God, help us to grow. Number two, I would say it's a chance to do good in different ways as people go through difficulty. Let's not just be self-centered, take care of ourselves. This can be a very selfish time. I don't want to get sick, and I don't want, you know, none of us, we don't want that, but, you know, we want to extend ourselves to help people, yes, in as safe as possible a way, but not just take care of ourselves, to do good. And then number three, in all things, bring glory to God. God in His greatness, turning people to look to God, trusting in God, testifying of your faith in God. We believe that there is a reason for every season. There's a reason for this season. What does God have for you? And what does God have for me? What does He have for His church? I believe this is going to be a pruning time. A time when He's pruning the scripture in John chapter 15, where He talks about the fact that, you know, He's the vine and we're the branches. And there's a pruning that God does. He's doing pruning. He's working in this time. He has a reason for this season. And so the fact that we have trouble, as I noted earlier, and I won't spend a lot of time, but trouble should not surprise us. This life is difficult. Job said in Job 14:1, he said, "Man is born of a woman, is of a few days and full of trouble." Isn't that true? Life is tough. Life is not easy. This is not something that's been just tough on one segment of our society. It's without respecter of persons. We're all going through this difficult time. And there's a number of other texts of Scripture. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "In the world you will have tribulation." Jesus made a promise that there would be difficulty. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4, Paul said that he told the followers of Jesus that there would be difficulty. He said, "In fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know." So the Word of God says there will be tribulation, there will be difficulty, there will be challenges. But think about your response in this season of difficulty, in this tough season, in this down time. How are you responding? Remember, it was on the cross during a difficult time that Jesus did His greatest work. It's some of the greatest things can come out of difficult times. If Paul didn't have problems, he wouldn't have had a ministry. If you read 2 Corinthians 11, and I won't read it all now, but 2 Corinthians 11, 22 through 29, it lists the things that Paul went through. Trial after trial after trial. You might say, that's what my life is like. And it might be true. But in those trials and difficulties, Paul ministered. He wrote some of the greatest texts of Scripture in times of imprisonment. Think of the list of individuals that I listed. Daniel, through great difficulty for 70 years, God used him in the Babylonian kingdom. Think of Esther, as we noted her life, how God, through difficulties, brought her to the place of being queen, that position where she was able to save thousands and thousands of Jews from being annihilated. God uses difficulties often. In Acts 16, and we're going to begin to bring this time to a close, but in Acts 16, verse 20 and following, we have one story of Paul the Apostle going through a difficult time and his faith-filled positive response. Boy, it's easy to get negative and pessimistic, critical of our government, critical of our leaders. Everybody's become an expert in everything, with loaded with opinion. I struggle with that also. But not having a faith-filled, trusting God, knowing that He has good things for me and good things for you in this difficulty. Paul the Apostle was, it tells us in the verses, Acts 16, verse 20, it talks about him being, and says they brought him to the magistrate, and they're saying, these men, falsely accusing these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. Verse 21, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. I would say this is a downtime in Paul's life. He's being beaten, taken, imprisoned. And listen to his response in verse 25. But at midnight, now, I don't know about you, but if it was midnight and I had been stripped and beaten and imprisoned, falsely accused, I would be negative and pessimistic and complaining. But listen to what Paul did. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, going to God in his presence. I'm certain that Paul was asking for God's grace and mercy to be poured out upon him. Paul testifies many times to the grace of God that was at work in him. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, he notes that. And here he is in prison, a damp, dark, dirty, smelly, difficult place, a downtime. But here he is with Paul and Silas, were praying and singing to God, and the prisoners were listening to him, singing songs of praise to God. Now, the result of the story is that the jailer comes to Christ. His family is saved and baptized. It tells us in verse 33, and immediately he and his family were baptized. So God took Paul in a difficult, down place. Paul responded in faith, and look at the good that came from it. I wonder about you and how you're responding and I'm responding. Are we making the most of this season that God has us in? We're going through a difficult season. There's a lot of personal loss and personal difficulties. But maybe you're like Paul in a prison, a difficult place. But God is there, wants to minister to you and minister to me. And our response will make all the difference in the world as to the results of this season that we're in. My prayers are with you this week, and next week we'll delve into the life of Joseph. We're going to see that he had downtimes, and in those downtimes, God worked in mighty ways to help promote Joseph, to bring him to a place that he was used in a mighty way. Are you and I responding in such a way that God can use us in great ways during these difficult days? God bless you, and our prayers are with you.